In times of economic uncertainty and chaos, your money means nothing. You may not even be able to get it from your bank or ATM. And the money you do have in the stock market will go down and down. What you can bank on is gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a reliable and trusted form of currency for thousands of years. Gold and silver have never been worth zero, and typically gold holds its value during economic turmoil. Call the Gold Hotline now and learn how to protect your money and your assets with gold and silver. And learn how to set up a new IRA or roll over your current one into a gold-backed IRA. Protect your money from the next market crash with gold and silver. Call now for your free gold guide.
800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. That's 800-281-4224.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
You're tuned into Tomorrow for the weekend of March 23rd, 2018. I am Dave Graveline, just like that guy finished saying.
I'm Chris Graveline.
Yes. Well, you weren't prepared to say who you were?
No, I had to think about it.
Oh, okay. Horatio at the helm in the control room and Erasmo on assignment and also editing and doing fun things for us this week. Lots of stuff happening. Of course, busy week of tech news, obviously. Many items to talk about. We've realized, for example, the worst fears of new technology in Tempe, Arizona, where a traffic accident that will likely lead to a major setback in the otherwise very active development of driverless cars, the death of 40-year-old Elaine Herzberg, who was crossing a street outside the marked crosswalk, appears to be the first time a self-driving car has been involved in the death of a person not inside the vehicle. Tempe police confirmed the Uber was in autonomous mode at the time of the accident, though there was a safety driver at the wheel. I guess we have to say that in air quotes, safety driver.
Yeah, well, because I saw a follow-up after the story broke that the safety driver apparently was a convicted felon who had spent almost 4 years in prison for, among other things, attempted armed robbery.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, Uber's hiring the best people, aren't they?
Yeah.
Jeez.
But that also does that also say that the having the safety backup drivers doesn't really work?
Was he sleeping? Was he texting? Was he reading? Was he not paying attention? Otherwise, what's the point of the safety driver then?
Yeah, I guess we'll know when the investigation is over.
And I find it interesting that they talked about she was crossing the street outside the marked crosswalk. Now, does that mean jaywalking, or does that mean just slightly outside? Like, you know, people try to get to where they need to go by cutting out of the crosswalk sometimes or whatever. Either way, I mean, it doesn't seem like we can blame the lady. It's the vehicle. So who got a ticket, if anybody? You know, at least
it's definitely a ticketable offense.
Yeah, I would think. But did they ticket the car? We've had this discussion a bunch of times. So I haven't heard that. If anybody listening has heard who they charged, if anyone, with that, you know, manslaughter to the Uber vehicle? I don't think that'll work.
I don't know, but to Uber's credit, at least they, you know, voluntarily halted all of their testing operations while the investigation was going on and said they will cooperate fully with, you know, all the authorities.
I get the impression that they're going to find out that it was the quote-unquote safety driver who wasn't paying attention anyway. Now, obviously, if the vehicle continued and didn't see an obstacle, in this case a pedestrian, it seemed to be a lady maybe walking her bike across the street, then that's a problem. Whether the driver could have, I guess, slammed on the brakes or swerved or something, but it's going to be interesting. And like you say, to Uber's credit, they decided, all right, hold off, let's find out what happened exactly so we can either correct it or deal with it or fire the employee who was at fault in the long run or something. Mm-hmm. But I think either way, it's going to be a setback. You know, a lot of people are very concerned about these driverless vehicles, and Ford is testing a bunch here in Miami, in our own hometown lately.
It's funny, because what have I been saying for the last year plus? I don't think autonomous vehicles are really a good idea.
But it's going to happen. It's just how soon.
That doesn't mean I have to think it's a good idea.
Well, no, but you probably don't think a vacuum is a good idea either, but it's good that we have them.
If someone else is using it.
Okay. Well, there's the qualifier. Gotcha.
So this past Tuesday, Amazon became the second biggest company in the world when it comes to market capitalization. Mm. At the time, the company was worth $763.27 billion, while Alphabet...
Let me capture this. 763.27 billion.
So basically, $763.25 billion.
Wow.
While Google's parent Alphabet was only worth $762.9 billion.
Oh, the poor company. Yeah.
Amazon has had an incredible quarter. Stock was up nearly 29% since early January. Now, as for Alphabet, its shares have gone up and down. Now, the only company that was currently worth more than Amazon is, of course, Apple. And there's still a long way to reach Apple, as Apple's market capitalization is $892
billion. Wow. And, of course, the dust has barely settled on the Toys R Us fire sale, and consumer electronics retail giants like Amazon are already chomping at the bit to take over their assets. It's unlikely that Amazon will continue using the Toys R Us brand, of course, instead continuing to expand on their $13.7 billion Whole Foods takeover, their bookstore ventures or cashier-less convenience store concepts. You might recall that the acquisition of Whole Foods gave Amazon 450 physical locations across the U.S. Well, Toys R Us will give them 560 more locations around the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, maybe they'll surpass Apple very soon.
And of course, you know, and as soon as Toys R Us announced they're going out of business, KB Toys announced on Twitter their comeback.
Yeah.
Because apparently there was, you know, a guy who purchased, I guess, the name or the assets from KB Toys last year. They went out of business, you know, like nine years ago.
And then they said Toys R Us kind of pushed them out.
Right. But last year, I guess, he bought the KB Toys brand and was planning a comeback, but announced on Twitter, in light of the recent announcement by Toys R Us, stay tuned. We're coming back.
Oh, my gosh. I read somewhere, I don't know, it could have been fake news. It was just a headline that I passed and went, oh, that's interesting, and was busy with 100 other things. Something to the effect of Toys R Us executives are blaming millennials for not having children and therefore pushing them out of business.
Yeah, as much as I'd like to believe that, you know, but yeah, I don't think that's really the case.
I don't think so either. So it could have been tongue-in-cheek news, or maybe some exec did say that. But come on, how about poor business practices, bad management, overpricing, all kinds of bizarreness?
Yeah, exactly. We've always said, you know, especially in this, you know, age of technology, these companies have to learn to sort of morph with the times. And Toys R Us, they kind of didn't really morph with the times, I think.
Yeah,
that's
well, exactly.
Kind of what pushed them out.
That's right. And, of course, talk about other big tech news this week. The Facebook scandal deepens. In addition to a ton of new data leaks and Facebook losing more than $36 billion in value, probably more since we put this show together, disturbing undercover interviews with executives have revealed admissions of bribery, entrapment, and the use of sex workers to sway political elections around the world. The blowback has been making Facebook's stock drop like a rock. Facebook's data security chief is also leaving over a dispute on the handling of Russian ploys. And it turns out it's harder to delete your Facebook account than you'd think. A lot of people, including some of our listeners, have been sharing with us, they're just off Facebook. That's it. Done. Now the FTC has opened an investigation, among others, so Mark Zuckerberg has a lot of splaining to do. Meantime, he's been busy selling a lot of his stock in Facebook. Like right before more bad news breaks, he sells another, I don't know, $4 billion, I think, worth of stock. Isn't that interesting? Maybe some insider training too, trading. The hashtag Where's Zuck started appearing on Twitter in reference to Zuckerberg's lack of a public appearance or statement. And the co-founder of WhatsApp, Brian Acton, who sold his company to Facebook for $16 billion in 2014, had an interesting comment as well.
Yeah, he sent out a tweet late Tuesday with just three simple words. It is time. Followed by hashtag delete Facebook.
So he's saying everyone should delete Facebook. He made his $16 billion a couple of years ago, or 4 years ago, and is quite content and says, you don't need it. Just delete it. They can't take his money back, I guess. So
yeah.
What the heck? And of course, that's amid the current scandals, all the data leaks, all the problems. And he's just saying, so delete it.
Yeah.
A lot of people are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we've heard from people saying they're getting their life back because they're not on Facebook.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, and he still worked at the Facebook-owned WhatsApp until last year. And, you know, word has it now that he's out of his own. He's now developing a competing app to WhatsApp.
Oh.
So maybe he'll try to sell that one also to... I don't know. We'll see.
I doubt it. Was that going to be called Apps What?
Maybe.
It could be, but there'd be some kind of infringement there, yeah. I'm sure.
MIT has developed a robot that blends right in and can go undetected in a school, so long as that school is made up of fish, like those you might find swimming around a coral reef.
Oh, whew, that kind of school. All right. Okay.
This week, a team from MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory, or CSAIL, unveiled a soft robotic fish dubbed SoFi, or Sophie. It's, you know, capital S-O, capital F-I. Including video of the fishy bot swimming in the ocean alongside unsuspecting regular tropical fish. The footage comes from test dives in Fiji's Rainbow Reef at depths of over 50 feet that lasted as long as 40 minutes. The mechanical marine spy is equipped with a camera that uses, of course, a fisheye lens to capture close-up videos and photos of whatever underwater environments it can swim its way into.
Of course it has to use a fisheye lens, yeah.
It can be piloted with a waterproof remote control that uses ultrasonic signals and is based on an aftermarket video game controller.
Interesting.
And I've seen, you know, video of this little robotic fish, and it really is shaped like a fish and kind of looks like a fish so that other fish that are in the area won't get spooked away.
Now, they've had toys like that you can submerge and they'll swim around, and even radio-controlled fish to do some things. I don't know that they were going to serve the same purpose, but they've accomplished that, which is kind of neat to watch a fake fish swimming around.
You know, I'm sure the BBC is going to probably be all over this for their next nature documentary.
But is it nature?
Well, it's a fish. It allows you to get up close and personal with other fish there. So, yeah, they might use it.
That's true. And it's not scaring other fish away because it looks enough like a fish.
That's the thing. A lot of these documentaries, you have these big cameramen going into these big cameras underwater, and you get close to a fish,
or
and it just spooks it away.
Or the big submersives with two or three people in it, and of course the fish are saying, "I'm out of here."
Yeah, you know, just so you know, as I'm watching the footage of this fish swimming through the reef, I kept hearing David Attenborough's voice in my head.
I see. Here beneath the waters, I can't do him. What can I say? Do you take Facebook quizzes?
No.
Yeah, good. Because if you do, I'm sure a bunch of people listening, you might want to stop doing that as your privacy is at risk. There's plenty of fallout, of course, over Facebook's suspension of Cambridge Analytica, the data firm that got its information from a personality prediction app. And your info was probably among the data. Some 50 million people had a lot of personal data released, and they said the biggest single thing is Facebook quizzes. So I'm tired of seeing them anyway. I usually just move on or delete or whatever. I never take them, but don't take them. Your mother does that all the time. I see that periodically. You know, what famous movie star do you look like? Or, you know, what does your astrological sign mean with, you know, what kind of bread you eat? Or I don't know, some goofy thing.
Yeah, the latest goofy one this last week that I've seen that half my friends were doing is, what would you look like as the opposite gender? And it was just stupid.
Oh, jeez. Oh, great. Well, but see, those apparently Facebook quizzes are just data mining you, getting all kinds of information. And reading your personal stuff, don't take them. They're stupid to begin with. Mm-hmm. And if you really don't have anything better to do than a Facebook quiz, then get a life. Let alone, I'm helping you protect your privacy, but you need to get a life, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Diane in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, listening to AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Hey, Diane.
I really enjoy your show, and my question is, I've got a 10-year-old Mac, and I'm just wondering, the battery is getting warm, and it won't stay charged very long. Is it time to give up the ghost and get a new one, or do you think I could just get a battery replaced?
Well, Diane, first of all, thank you for the kind words. We're delighted that you enjoy the show and that you've called in. Don't be the last time we hear from you. Your MacBook is old, unfortunately, maybe even first generation, but you may be able to get away with just replacing the battery if it's otherwise still meeting your needs. Surprisingly enough, for something Apple, the batteries are not even that expensive. You can find them online at Walmart.com, BestBat.com, or even MacBookBatteries.com, all ranging from about $35 going up to $45. And on those MacBooks, the battery is user replaceable without having to open the case. Now, your MacBook is no longer being updated by Apple, of course. Now, that means that if you do update, you will have a newer operating system with more features and a machine more able to cope with modern software and websites. Modern MacBooks do have good battery life. Apple claims about 10 hours of wireless web, 12 of movie playback, and 30 days of standby time. They also have one port. That means that if you're one of those crazy people that likes to plug anything to a USB port, like, oh, I don't know, a mouse, or maybe a phone to charge it, or an external hard drive while your laptop is plugged in, imagine that. You're going to need some kind of a hub.
Yeah, and it even gets a little worse than that, because the port is USB-C.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, now, USB-C may be the future, but it means that all of your legacy or regular USB devices will require an adapter. Now, don't worry. Apple will gladly take your money and sell you a $20 USB-C to USB adapter. You can also buy one at Walmart for about $3 or at Target for $10.
You know, H and I were talking about this in the office the other day, that, you know, of course, Apple's going to sell something for $19 that you can get elsewhere for $3 at Walmart. Or if you want to get a little bit better one, you can get it for $10 at Target. Or you can just let Apple rip you off and pay their price.
You're paying for the logo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But you can find hubs, too.
Yeah, you can find hubs for about $15. Now, we admit that it's not the end of the world, but including a single port that requires you to buy extra accessories is not the most customer-friendly move that Apple has ever made.
Of course not. But why did they do it? Because they can then sell you more accessories.
Exactly.
That are marked up dramatically. So, Diane, I hope we've helped you out there. If you're listening in the car and not able to get everything we said, of course, our show notes are there for you. Visit us at intotomorrow.com. Look for the show for the weekend of March 23rd. Hour one, there's your call. And all of our details, everything we talked about, is listed there for not only you, Diane, but anyone else with a similar question. Be sure and join us anytime at your convenience. Call in, win stuff. Into Tomorrow.